First of all, I want to thank Pastor Randy for asking me to come here today. Secondly, I want to thank all of you for making my wife and I feel welcome. But most of all, I want to thank God. So if you'll join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true, and I thank you that you are true to your word. So today, Lord, we're just asked by your spirit, you would write your word on the tablets of our hearts so that we might not sin against you. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Most of the people in this room that I'm looking at, like me, can remember 1960s and the 1970s. During that time, there was a band, and they went by the name of Chicago. 1969, Chicago came out with a song. It was a hit. The title of that song, "Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is?" I'm going to spare you and not try to sing it. But some of the lyrics to that song were, "Does anybody really know what time it is?" Followed by the question, "Does anybody really care about time?" The reason I'm here today is to inform you of what time we are in America spiritually. You will walk out of here not with Mike Beeson's opinion, but from the Word of God, and you'll know what time it is in America spiritually. The answer to that second question, does anybody really care about time? That's going to be between you and God. Do you really care about what time it is in America spiritually? I'm going to reference Genesis chapter 6, and I'll be reading out of the NIV. "When men began to increase in number on the earth, and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose." We are living today in the days of Noah. This chapter is the chapter where God brings out his reason for judgment. It's the chapter that brings out his reason for the flood. We are living in those days in America. God has pronounced judgment on America 30 years ago. I don't have time to get into all that and how I know that, but he did. There are five stages to judgment. Number one, he announces it. The second one is God's hand of mercy is on America or any other country. And in judgment, after he announces it, he backs his hand off a little bit. He doesn't take it all the way away because that would be wrath. But he backs it off. And the reason he does that is so all of our false gods and our false idols can begin to operate more freely. And the reason he does that is so that we will wake up to the fact that they are nothing but false gods and false idols, and we will come back to him. Because the third stage is repentance. The fourth thing is restoration. And the fifth thing then is revival. Those are the five steps. We are in number two. God's hand of grace has been pulled back. That's why it's crazy out there. He is allowing it. We must understand that God is the creator of all things. Nothing in this universe happens without his knowledge. He either makes it happen or he allows it to happen. The craziness that's going on out there, God knows about. Okay? It's not catching him by surprise. It says in verse 1, "When men began to increase in number on the earth." That word "men" in the Hebrew actually goes more towards mankind not the gender, man. So it's when mankind began to increase in number on the earth and the daughters were born to them, the daughters represent a new generation and the womb of a new generation. When they were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. Now I got to explain something so that we're on the same page. We have to look at things in two ways. There's a vertical and there's a horizontal. And I want to use the cross of Jesus as the example. The cross of Jesus has two components. One is the post, the vertical post. That represents a covenant between God and man and God. The second component is the beam that goes across. That's horizontal. That's earthly. That's carnal. But where the two intersect? Right here. In the heart. When the heart of God and the heart of man come together. So we have to look at this on two different planes. It says in verse 2, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. The sons of God, as it's speaking here, are the religious folk. They're the sons of God, the people of God, the church folk, the ones that are supposed to be in covenant relationship vertically with God. But watch. It says they saw the daughters of men. Are the words up here that I'm reading? Okay. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That means they were taking their eyes off God. They were taking their eyes off the vertical and looking at the horizontal. Vertical covenant relationship. Where there is covenant relationship, there is covenant accountability. I'm in covenant relationship with God. But the good news for me is that He's in covenant relationship with me. Because covenant relationships are both directions, two-way. I'm in covenant relationship with my wife, and she's in covenant relationship with me. It's two-way. But the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That means they broke their covenant relationship and their covenant responsibility because they were looking now at the daughters of men. And they saw that they were beautiful. The word beautiful means enticed. Does anybody really know what time it is? There is so much going on out there that's enticing. Let me just use this as an example. My wife and I write checks and we pay cash. We have a credit card, we don't have a debit card. The only time we use our credit cards is when we go on vacation because we don't want to take that much cash with us. But let's look how this has evolved since the 1990s. Gone from cash and checks. I was in Lowe's the other day, and there was a 23 or so year old boy there as a cashier. I was writing out a check, and he says, "Boy, I don't see very many of them anymore." He said, "My mom taught me how to write a check and how to balance a checkbook." I said, "Praise God for your mother." He said, "Most of my friends haven't even seen a check. They don't even know what they are." We've evolved into the enticements. Just carry the plastic. You don't need to carry cash. Men went to the debit card. We're getting farther and farther away from cash, and we're going into a cashless society. Now we're getting away from ATM cards because people don't even go to the ATM to get cash because they don't use cash. So then we got a credit card. Remember the old credit card machines where you put it down on there and you had mimeograph paper or whatever they call it, and you went shh, like that? Those are gone. Now you can just slide it. Well, even that's starting to phase out. We're being enticed. Because now there's a chip. And all you got to do is put it in. And it reads the chip. Well, guess what they're doing? They're indoctrinating us. Because the next chip's going to be right here. Or right here. There's already technology being used that they can scan your eye and know who you are. They have security access points that way. It's enticing us because our eyes are off of Him and our eyes are on the world. If you came here for an upbeat message, I'll get to it later. I'm just here to tell you the truth, okay? What you do with it, it's up to you. They saw that the daughters of men were enticing. Look at what's happening in the computer world. We don't own one. Don't want one. This is my connection to the world. And I'm not saying we're perfect, but I'm not going to allow us to get enticed in the things that we shouldn't be getting enticed to. How much time do people spend on them goofy machines? How many people have been enticed into pornography because they have a stupid machine? How much time are they not spending with their families because they're doing this? I know y'all go to restaurants and see the same thing I do. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. You want my order? Go ahead and take my order. Here's the problem, verse 2. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Does anybody really know what time it is spiritually in America? And does anybody really care? They married. That's covenant relationship. They broke their covenant relationship with God Almighty because they were enticed by the daughters of men. And they married into it. The question is, what have you married into? Some of you are nodding your head and some of you are looking very puzzled. They married any of them they chose. Nobody forced them. Nobody forced you. Chose them. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The word mortal means corrupt. My spirit will not be with man forever, because I've seen he's corrupt. Verse 4, this is one of those verses that you would gloss over if you just read your Bible nonchalantly. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. The Nephilim. If you remember this account in Numbers chapter 13, it's when Moses was about to lead the people into Canaan. And Moses took one person from each of the tribes, right? And he sent him out as a spy to go spy out the land. And they went over there and they saw everything was really cool. And they brought it back to Moses and they gave him the word. Hey, it's really cool over there. You know, it's a land full of milk and honey and all the good stuff. But then somebody said, hey, there's giants over there, man. There's giants over there, and we feel like grasshoppers. That's who these Nephilim are. There was giants. This was the promised land, the land that God had promised them. But the giants were keeping them from coming in. It was trying to scare them out. Does anybody know what time it is? There's giants out there, folks. Homosexuality, political divide, racial divide. There's giants in the land. But is the church going to close the doors and stay inside and hover inside? We can't. That's the promised land out there. The unsaved are a promise. This is not the time for us to stay behind our closed doors and play church. This is time for us to go out and evangelize. Well, I'm not called to be an evangelist. Neither was Timothy. Paul told him, go do the work of the evangelist. Go do the work of the evangelist. That's what we're called to do. It says that they were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. This just isn't an account of history back in that day. And they're here today too. Does anybody really know what time it is spiritually in America? Then the sons of men went to the daughters of man, or the sons of God rather, went to the daughters of men and had children by them. Broken covenant. And they went into a sinful covenant and had offspring. And had offspring and had offspring. Does anybody know what's happening in America today? One thing leading into another. We have turned our back on God. Verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth became, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord saw. The sons of men back in verse 2 saw and were enticed by the daughters of men. God saw their sin. Every inclination of the thought in their heart. God's concerned about the heart. It's like I said, it's where the two come together. The vertical covenant, horizontal covenant come together in the heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he saw that the thoughts of in their hearts were only evil all the time. That doesn't leave much wiggle room, does it? Only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made them. Folks, I got to be honest, I chewed on that for about a month. Because to me it didn't line up right in here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, God is love. And then I read this. I will wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth. I am grieved that I even made them. I cannot imagine what it would have been like as a child to hear my parents, one of them, say, I'm sorry you were ever born. I can't imagine the hurt. And that's why it was conflicting to me that this God who is love, see, love is not what God does. Love is who God is. He doesn't turn his love on and off. He is love. Everything he does is out of love. Even his judgment is out of love. So when I mulled over this for a month, I saw where I was making my mistake in my thinking. Because back to the analogy of my parents saying, I wish you were never born, I would have made them so mad that that would have been a selfish reaction on their part. You've hurt me. And now I'm going to hurt you back. But that's not what God's heart was. God's heart was, I'm sorry I made you because now I know what you're going to have to go through. And my heart's broken for that. my heart's broken for you. That's what God's grief was. His grief was for the people because he knew what was coming. But in the midst of all this negativity, and in the midst of all this judgment, and in the midst of all this, verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning. Sometimes, I know, I've been there, it seems like you're the only one. When everybody else around you wants to go and do the world stuff. When people are one foot in the world and one foot in church. But God warned us about that in Revelation. Revelation 3 and 16 talks about a lukewarm church. And he says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather that you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Church, the days when Christians go to the casino on Saturday night and then come to the church house on Sunday morning are over. The days when you spend $100 of your paycheck on lottery tickets and don't put a nickel into the tithe is over. It has to be. It has to be. God saw, Noah found favor in God's eyes. This is the account of Noah. We have to use verse 9 as our template of how we should live in this day and age. Noah was a righteous man, which means he was in right standing with God. He held on to that vertical covenant. He refused to let go. He refused to allow his eyes to be enticed by the daughters of men. He refused. Number two, he was blameless among the people of his time. This separates a lot of folks because a lot of folks know how to talk a good religion. But what are they living? What are we living when we're out on the street? What are we living at Walmart? What are we living at work? Doesn't mean he was perfect. It means he was blameless. Number three, he walked with God. He walked with God. Covenant relationship with my wife. Covenant relationship with God. He's on my heart through the day. She's on my heart through the day. I'm walking with them when they're not with me. I talk to my God during the day. I got a sign on my desk at home that says, I know my God is real because I talked to him this morning. Verse 11 says, now the earth was corrupt, which means lacking integrity. Does anybody know what time it is? Lacking integrity. In and out of the church, folks. Come on, let's be real. He saw that the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. I ask you one more time. Does anybody really know what time it is in America? Can you see the parallels we're drawing here? Noah in America today. Verse 12, God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. I want to do that again. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. Why did the earth become corrupt? for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. The earth is corrupt because of sin. Because man has turned their back on God. We have broken covenant with God. We have broken our alliance with God. We have broken our accountability to God. And the earth is corrupt. Verse 13, so God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. We can sit in the church house or in our house and look out the window and say, it's your fault that there's so much corruption in America today. We can look at the politicians, I don't care who you are, and we can point our fingers at them and say, you are the problem. We can look at the illegal immigrants and say, you are the problem. We can look at the blacks and say, you are the problem. We can look at homosexuality. You are the problem. But it's time to stop looking out the window and look in the mirror. Folks, it comes down to this. Sin is the problem in America today. It's not politics. Sin is the problem. And the only way it's ever going to get rectified in this country is through repentance. Now, do you think them folks out there are going to do that? So who is it up to? I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth, he said. Now, if I just said, amen, let's go home, you would walk out of here hopeless. If God would have stopped with Noah right there and said, that's it, buddy, Noah would have been hopeless. But he didn't. So I'm not. God told Noah, verse 14, make yourself an ark. Make your way, make yourself a way of escape. Put one door in. All the creatures that you're going to bring in are coming in that door. And when it's time, they'll all leave through that door. The good news for us today, folks, is that we don't have to build an ark. Because one's already been provided. And the way into that ark, one door. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. That's the only way. That's the answer for what's going on out here. Jesus. We got to get right. We got to look in the mirror and say, Lord, show me the areas of my life where I've turned my back on you. Show me where I broke down in my integrity. Show me where I broke down in my accountability to you. And I prostituted myself to the world. And if you honestly do that, he will answer you. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cover you. But it starts here before I can fix anything out there. My love for him has to come first. I go by a rule in life, and that is I can't give anything away until I've taken ownership of it. If you have a car, can I borrow it? Okay. If I borrow her car and I want to van work, and I saw somebody there who needed a car, I say, here, you can have this one. Do I have the right to do that? I got possession of it. But I don't have the right to give her car away because I don't have ownership. I can talk a big talk about Jesus, but until I own it, it's talk and it's cheap. It ain't nothing. It's got to mean something. It's got to be real. But the good news, folks, even though we're in the days of Noah, even though we're in the time of God's judgment in America, and he's judging America as a nation, he's judging America as a culture, and he's judging the church in America, all three. There were three sins that brought his judgment to America 30 years ago. Number one was pride. Number two was materialism. And number three was sexual immorality. This was in 1994, folks. In 1994, there were two superpowers in the world, the United States and the Soviet Union. In 1994, the Soviet Union fell, and the United States became the sole superpower in the world. All of our enemies feared us, and all of our allies looked up to us as if we were on a throne, and we ate it up. Greed started to come into our culture in America, and businesses and industry began to sell off their companies to China, closing down factories in America in the 1990s. Because of that, family began to fall apart, because now we needed two incomes, because Dad had a 25-year tenure where he was making good enough money to pay the bills, but now he got laid off because they sold out. So now he's taking a $7 or $8 an hour job. Mom's got to go to work to pay the bills. Bills don't get paid. The family breaks up. That happened. But materialism grew. My neighbor has a boat. I want a boat. I don't live within 500 miles of water, but I want a boat. Got a house, but I need two. State college isn't good enough. I got to go to Princeton. Think of 1994 and the sexual immorality back then as compared to what it is today. We're still in the closet for the most part. They came out of the closet with a bang and they shoved the church in it and shammed the door. Your turn. The only way judgment ends is through repentance. And then repentance brings restoration. Well, God brings us back to the glory days and then revival. God gave me a word 30 years ago about revival. And he said, when my Holy Spirit revival comes, it's going to come in a wind. It's going to blow by some churches, it's going to blow through some churches, and it's going to blow into some churches. The churches that it blows by are those churches that do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's going right by. The churches that it blows through are the majority of the churches in America today. These are the churches where people are sitting in their pews and their chairs Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, starving for the truth. But the majority of the churches in America today are coming to the point where they have a worldview rather than a scripture view. They operate their churches based on making the people happy rather than preaching the word of God straightforward. We want to water it down and pacify everybody so nobody leaves, because if they leave, then we lose the revenue, and if we lose the revenue, we close the building. So there's fear among the elders and the pastors in America. That's the majority of the churches today. When the wind blows through, the Lord said, I'm going to take all them people that are starving for the truth, and I'm going to pick them up, and I'm going to deposit them in the third church. The third church is the church that I'm going to blow into and never exit. That's the church I want to go to. That's called the remnant church. Yeah. The church is going to meet him in here. Time for games are over. It's a lot to digest, I know. But I want to ask you to be open to what I say. Read it for yourself. And then go to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you love us so much that you don't want to see any be left out. There are people in this room right now, Lord, I know by my spirit. But don't know you as Savior and Lord. They know your name. So, Lord, I'm going to ask right now to give them a spirit of boldness and conviction. Boldness that they will listen to you and listen to your spirit. And Lord, I'm going to make myself available to them. That if they want to come to know you today as Lord and Savior, I am here. And I will be most honored to introduce you to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.